recognise and pay respects to the ancestral spirits of this land, all the esteemed elders, past and present. And thank you to the 10th Embassy over there in Musgrave Park. It really means a lot to me, that place. I came up here in 1982 and I was really inspired by that time. I learned a lot from the mob here in South Brisbane. I took a lot away with me when I left here. Blackfellas, we know how to use the international spotlight, and that's why, you know, we use the Commonwealth Games and the Olympic Games and anything else that's got an international spotlight on it. It's there to be used, because we know, as blackfellas, that you're not going to get justice in this system here. This is a symbol of Aboriginal sovereignty here. Our flag and our passports. Some of the things that we're doing as a way to get our, be recognised, our sovereignty. The other way is, if anybody gets caught up in the legal system in here, we need to be arguing the question of jurisdiction. Don't make a plea, don't say that you're guilty, don't say you're not guilty. Just like Mark was saying, don't entertain the idea. What we should be doing is taking the numbers of the police, times, dates, and witnesses, so we can use that against them in a proper court of law when we get there one day. Mark mentioned that those four cases, Walker, myself, and who was the other one, Mark?
Kevin
Buzzacott. You're right, we're asking the courts at precedence to give us justice, so it's not going to work out. The cases that we were doing were, we were trying to get an advisory opinion from the International Court of Jurisdiction on whether Australia was subject to the International Convention for the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide, which was ratified in Australia in 1949 when the Liberal Party first came to power under the Menzies government. They were meant to put that law in place at that time, and we found out that they never did. Since 1949, Australia wasn't subject to those same convention laws like the rest of the civilised world was. They got away with things like continuing to remove our children, create the conditions of life with the intent to destroy. That's the reserve situation and the welfare control. They were killing members of our group. They were causing serious mental harm, torture and birth prevention. So everything that defined genocide in terms of that UN Convention, Australia is clearly in breach of. So what we were trying to do is just exhaust all the potential domestic remedy that there is in this country, which there's no doubt in my mind that we've got no hope in terms of getting justice in this country. So we need to go to where there's a proper jurisdiction. And we know that Australia was manifested from a convict penal colony, from the legal fiction Terra Nullius, you know, which obviously gives them no jurisdiction. I believe that unless there's a treaty in this country which is properly scrutinised by the international community, things will continue the same way. What a treaty does is give you a proper legal foundation of law. We haven't got that. What we do have is Terra Nullius, which built all the institutions in this country for the last 200 odd years, and that was up until that point, which is, to me, Terra Nullius is a clear-cut example of a premeditated criminal act of genocide, pretty serious charge. That's exactly what it is. Now, this is a continent here, a continent that was called New Holland before the British discovered it. That's true. It's called New Holland. So it was obviously discovered by another colonizer first. The British weren't the first. And in 1763, the British went to war with the Dutch. They declared war on the Dutch and all of its territories. And at that time, Australia was one of the territories of the Dutch. So there's an act of war that was declared on this territory here. Never been resolved, that war. it never came to an end. That's what a treaty will do. It'll end the war, create a peace situation. That's what the international legal meaning of a treaty is. It's a peace treaty. It's a where the two laws can be recognised and they can come to terms with creating a proper legal foundation of war. That's why our people haven't got any protection in this country. We're just assumed to be other Australians here. But as we know, we have the oldest known civilised society, social organisation on this planet. We have a law that goes back to the beginning of time. Now, it's pretty hard to come on the back of what these other fellows are saying, because they've said a lot of the things that I would like to say. I'd like to say I appreciate the work that Mark's doing, because we need to nail this from every angle. We need to nail it legally in all the legal terminologies. We need to make sure our young people understand what we're talking about in terms of what sovereignty is, what genocide is, what jurisdiction is, so it's really clear to our mob, so it's really easy to follow. And we've got just cause, our people. We just need to keep the faith on this business. Australia's manifested from a lie, deceit, propaganda and indoctrination. That's what it's built for. It's not lawful. It's got to keep standing strong in all of this. And sooner or later, this system will crumble. It's unsustainable. It's built on lies that won't last. And we've got to believe that. We've got to keep the faith on these people. Don't ever lose our law. Now, we've got something really beautiful here. We've got an amazing, beautiful law. It's built on, you know, my teaching of what the original laws of this land were simply five things. Peace, healing, harmony, love and justice. And that's not a very hard law to understand. Well, that was the law that maintained this society and this land. You know, we had a pristine environment. It was probably once upon a time you could probably actually drink that water in that river there and eat the fish that came out. I don't know if you can still do that today, but we can't do that where I'm from in Melbourne, in the Yarra. Actually, I should introduce myself properly, who I am. My name's Duran Bundalini Buran Mundundaran. Croatangaran and Japwaran. My tribe totems are the eagle and the pelican, flying pretty high, and C and L. You know, the southern states of Australia suffered pretty badly in the early days of colonisation. They basically exterminated all the Tasmanian Aboriginal people. And it took a lot of the southern parts of this continent out in that same way. You know. All these stories that you've been talking about, we relate to those things too. Yeah, I just want to really thank the people who put this on, like Coco was saying, and that we need to maintain our sovereign push. Now, we have a just cause, our people. And I went to the Tent Embassy when I was 16, and I was never interested in the politics. I was more interested in sport and culture stuff. But my life changed when I seen... when I went to the Tent Embassy in 1973, it was. And I quickly learnt that, you know, there's something seriously wrong in this country. So I gave up a lot of my dreams of what I wanted to do myself and decided, no, I'm going to take this on. This is where it's got, this is where it's at. We've got to sort this issue out. So it's been a long haul for me, and I too have seen a lot over my period of 50 years on this earth, and we know as blackfellas in this country that the only time that we can get anything done is when we do get on the streets and do take advantage of international spotlight when it's on this country, like the Olympic Games, like the Commonwealth Games, anything else where there's international focus here. I think that's where we can do a lot in terms of our struggle. I'm really encouraged by the idea of embassies growing up around Australia. I think there was 18 at one stage. I'm not sure if there's that many there now. But that's what's going to draw our people. You know, most of our people who work in this country today, our people, work for the state. I know that's the situation in Victoria. I'd be pretty sure that'd be the same here. Most paid positions be paid by the system somehow. There's not many independent Aboriginal people operate. So there's a big problem there, because those people are absorbing all the welfare and the resources, and they're not reaching the people that they need, despite the amounts of money that have been spent. Doesn't seem to be any outcomes. Since corp law or corporation law was imposed on us, now we've gone backwards in terms of our development. Lots of money has been spent, but there's nothing to show for it. In fact, we're getting further entrenched into the system. I feel like the situation's got a lot worse in the last, since 1982, things have got a lot worse for our people. What I want to try and do is, because I think it's what's important is our children understanding where we're coming from as older Aboriginal people. If we don't make sure that our kids understand, well, where's our struggle going to be in the future? You know, we're losing them in a large way to the system. And if we don't get them on our track, well, we have lost our argument. We have lost our position here, because who's going to take up the fight for it? And you can see, we're probably, our children are probably the most jailed people on earth. They're criminalised at a young age. There's all this profiling going on. And, you know, they're ending up in jail. And, you know, these kids were going around in a vicious circle or revolving door syndrome through the correction system are like cash cows for the system. And it's good, big money. We're like clients to the system. And each one of us is worth hundreds of thousands of dollars annually to jail. There's huge benefits of white men perpetuating our misery and our grief in this country. And they're not really interested in sorting out the problem here. And they live on the misery of our people. There's a saying that Foley used to say, if all the black folk died tomorrow, there'd be a million white folk out of work. And it makes me think about what Marshall Anthony said the other day, that black folk should get off the dole and get a job and join in the system. Well, like I said, a lot of white people would be out of work if that was the case. Now, they're the ones who will benefit on our misery in this country. I want to try and do a little rap, because I'm going to try and make it easy to understand for our young fellows. You know, I can just imagine our kids walking down the street with the headphones on, not listening to what's going on in the United States, but learning about their own story. And this rap goes like this. They ruled the waves and they waved the rules. They were rule wavers and wave rulers. Union Jack, skull and crossbones. British Crown Pirate Corporation. Preemptive strikes, weapons of mass destruction, undeclared war, secret invasion, intent to destroy the original nations. Australia's a crime scene. It's a criminal nation. And we want a crime scene investigation. Terra nullis, legal fiction. No consent, no treaty, no jurisdiction. Apartheid law, reservation, mission station, compounds, jails, concentration, overrepresentation, incarceration, deaths in custody, stolen generations. Mental harm, burst prevention, intent to destroy. They create the conditions. Australia's a crime scene. It's a criminal nation. We want a crime scene investigation. International Criminal Court of Justice, for whatever that's worth, I don't think we're going to do any good there, because there's a conspiracy between the United Nations and the Australian governments I know there's a conspiracy between the United Nations and the Chinese governments in relation to Tibet. There's a conspiracy between the Israeli government and the Palestinian lands. You know, but what I want to, I want to really impress on our children what's going on here. You know, they're the ones that are going to carry this fight on in the future. Now, we know Australia's a crime scene. What are we going to do about it? And the idea of what Adrian was talking about is uniting. You know, I went to the 10th Embassy in 1973 naively thinking that, oh, here's a chance for our mob to unite. You know, that's, what's that, nearly, that's 40-odd years ago, Malcolm. And I'm still waiting to see that unity, because that's what I believe our sovereignty is. It's a matter of us uniting, and once we do that, that's our sovereignty, people. Because we're all on the same page, and we're all going about the same thing. In one sense, that's our sovereignty, when we unite. Simple as that. And there's all these things that are dividing us. And once we can overcome that, and we're starting to realise that we're all in the same position here, all the same things done to us right across this continent here. What undermines us is the blackfellas who work in the system. They're doing the bidding and the dirty work of the state. And back in my country, what they call Victoria now, we had a thing called the Native Police Force back down there in the 1840s. They were the first people who were ever employed by the state, were these mercenaries. These people who were on the inside. And they'd done a lot of damage. In fact, they modelled the SAS, the Special Armed Services, off these people who got on the inside and gave up the information to the colonisers. And they are very much a part of our life today, these people. They've inherited a lot of things, and they're still in power down there. So we need to realise we're up against it, people. But if you have a look at what happened in Tasmania, they haven't given up their fight for sovereignty. In fact, I think Michael Mansell would have been one of the first blackfellas in this country to stand up in a real way and talk about Aboriginal sovereignty. It's hardly the place you'd sort of think that issue would have came out of, but it did. Because it's still a reality. You know? Michael Mansell is a trained lawyer. He understands. It's simple. There's no... The transfer of sovereignty has never happened in this country. It hasn't come from our consent, not without compulsion or duress or misinformed consent. It's never come from white fellas. There's a process. There's a couple of ways that you can get sovereignty, either through conquest or a peaceful settlement. Now, neither of them have happened. Well, in the eyes of white men, they say this country, there was never a war in this country, but there was obviously a war. But it hasn't been sorted out in a legal way. So the issues of sovereignty haven't been resolved. And if you look at the Mabo case of 92, because right up until 1992, the whole case, in my eyes, the whole country's history was a premeditated criminal act of genocide, terra nullis, nobody here. Well, what are they thinking? They knew there was people. What are they thinking? They were going to make it terra nullis. That's premeditated genocide, people. It's got terra nullis. So right up until 1992, that's what it was. Now, when the lawyers from Collins Street in Melbourne, who had been working with the Aboriginal Legal Service, Brian Keane Cohen and Ron Caston, decided that they'd go up to Mer Island, closer to New Guinea. I think they're more Melanesian than they are mainland Aboriginal. Those lawyers schemed and plotted the Mabo case. We were arguing the point of terra nullis down there in Victoria a long time before Mabo, and they were our lawyers. Key and Cohen done a case on sovereignty for us. Cost us $25,000 for one paragraph. Anyway, the heat was on to change terra nullis. The shameful racist lie on which this country is built. So they went up there and pulled out terra nullis and came up with this native title. Native title had always existed in this country, they said, and they were going to retrospectively recognise it. Now, total racist rubbish, people. Do not accept native title. You're doing your mobbing. It's rubbish. Short-term gains for a few people. What do you got after that? It's nothing, people. We've got to hang on to our sovereignty, our land. This is our land, and it's our law. We should never, ever forget that. And we've got to make it simple for our young people to understand. You know, if I ask any black fellow in this country, whose land is it? They know. They say, our land. I say, whose law is it? They say, it's our law. So they do understand. You know, they do understand that basic understanding. That's why it's important that Mark goes through, and people like Mark. You know, Dennis Walker's another one. Kevin Gilbert. Read their stuff. And this has been a long climb to have this established. You know, we're up against it. We're like 1% of the population in the richest colony in the world is denied our existence. But the truth is such a weapon, people. The truth is the weapon. We don't need anything other than that. Because Australia's built on lies. It's built on lies and deceit. And what will defeat it is the truth. The way to the truth is unravelling the lies, revealing the lies. The time we're in now is like the revelations revolution, as I call it. Everything's being revealed. The game is over. Everybody knows that this is a crime scene. And we want to, you know, we've had crimes committed on our people. We want our day in court. Not here. Not in the criminal's court, but the international courts, or wherever it is. And even that's a problem, because the United Nations is such a criminal itself. But what we do have now is the internet. That's the information revolution. And we can get our message out instantaneously across the globe. What I reckon we should do is set up a thing called Cyber Court. And we just start trying people. You're on Cyber Court. Take a photo, pin them up on the internet and try them and ask the whole world to try these people. Put up all the evidence, prosecute them, defend them, and get all the judges online to make a decision. Well, let's get this up there, people. We can do this. You know, there's a huge void being left by WikiLeaks, and they're trying to reveal all this truth. You know, no one really stood up for these fellas. That's what we've got to do. We've got to expose the racist colonial history of this place and set it right, not just for ourselves, but for everyone. You know? Australia is such an important place. It's the last continent that was colonised. By the time they got here, they knew how to deal with, how to commit genocide. They bought smallpox here. You know, that's a weapon of mass destruction, people. It was used on us in a preemptive strike. Then they brought in their ground forces, the first fleet. You know, when a fleet of ships comes into your territorial waters, and sticks a flag in your land, that's an act of war and aggression. That's what they've done to us. It's all very clear. What they do is make things complex, convoluted. It's all too hard. But it's a simple matter of murder and theft. Murder, rape and theft. This is what this country is about. We know this. We all do. Even white fellas know this. So we gotta, you know, we gotta come together, stand up as one, like Adrian says. You know, we've got just cause. And the more people to get this knowledge are gonna realise, yes, this is the way we need to go. This is how we sort this out. You want peace? This is what you gotta have. You gotta do this treaty. And when you have this internationally scrutinised treaty process, Australia's the only Commonwealth country without a treaty. When we have that treaty, we create a peace in this country, a proper legal foundation to build from. And that's when you can have your constitution. But you've got to have that treaty first. That's got to underpin the constitution in this country. Otherwise, it's just more imposed colonisers' law here. Now, who wants to be tacked onto the back of the old White Australia policy? And why didn't they recognise us 200 years ago? Who wants to be a part of it now? It's rubbish. You know, these constitutions are written by foreign powers. We've got foreigners controlling our people here. No, I thought a constitution for the people, by the people. Why don't we write our own people? Why don't we stand up and say, no, we're going to treaty with the original people of this land, and we're going to create our own constitution for the people, by the people. And I won't accept being tacked onto the back of their White Australia policy, ever. And we've got to clean that slate and start again. Otherwise, if we don't do that, we're condoning what's happened to us. When we sign off and give consent to native title, what you give up your sovereignty? This hasn't been explained to our people. That your law is given up instantly when you consent to native title. It's consent. You're saying, okay, you're the boss. And native title, remember the argument about pastoral leases? Well, the pastoral leases won. Now, pastoral leases for foreign white animals, they've got more entitlements than the Aboriginal people in this country. Because native title is less than a pastoral lease. Like I said, the speakers and the deadly speakers before me, all deadly, they took a lot of what I would like to have said. And, you know, like we're all arriving at the same point here. And the time's not far away, people. There's pressure from the environment. Like we said, always said, land rights is the issue here. And land rights is not just for people. The land has a right too, to exist in its own way. And that was my understanding of land rights. It wasn't meant in putting up fences and this is mine. It was meant the land had a right. And if the land's looked after, well, my people are going to be okay too, because we're a part of this land. You know, back in the day, they said that we were part of the flora and fauna, our people. And then they in 67, I think it was, they said we were allowed to become citizens. Well, I think it was better if we had a state flora and fauna, because that's got some sort of protection now. And we ain't. I don't want to take up too much time, Colin. All right. Our day's going to come, people. We've just got to keep the faith. And we're never going to cede our sovereignty. We never will cede our sovereignty. Ever. That's what gives us our identity, our rights, and everything else. We give that up, we just become other stray aliens. We're finished as a people. Don't assimilate. Assimilation to me is like a fate worse than death. Because it's having to become something that you despise most on earth and become like that. I just can't. It's unconscionable to me. And I'm going to be fighting till my last breath for my sovereign rights in this country. So I know that the harder that we fight now, the better off our children will be in the future. Down in Victoria, you know, we haven't got any land rights. We haven't got any native title. It was the colony who was first to constitute Victoria. It's the premier state. It's where all the law emanated from in the first place. And there's still no native title. There's dodgy agreements with the state and certain Aboriginal people, but there's no proper native title, even if you call this thing native title proper. There's none of that. There's no land rights. The population of Victoria in 1920 was 700 people. Half of them were half-castes. What is that called? So, you know, it's a pretty dire situation. So they wrote us off. And they done their first constitution in Victoria. It's where it started from, the first constitution. That's where the crime of terra nullius was first actually acted out on, when they created that constitution of Victoria, 1854, around the time of the gold rush down there. So from that point of time, they've spread that idea of terra nullius out through the states. So that's where the crime was committed, not on Mayoral.